For those of you that have been with us, we have been studying the book of Acts. And in Acts, we looked at the idea that not only do we become disciples of Jesus, followers of him, students of him. Hey, Tony, have a seat there, dude. Yeah, I know. He's a new grandpa, by the way, if you haven't seen that. So, not only did we study the discipleship process, but we also said he urged them to be apostles, those who go out and take the message. And the book of Acts, remember, was a balance between learning, being a disciple, going out and sharing with other people, being an apostle. We are privileged once every year or so to have John Musgrave and Sasha with us, who are setting up here today. And they share their missionaries to the Ukraine, which is currently under duress from Russia. And so we want to make sure you understand that. They've shared some of that with us in the past. I have grown to really appreciate these two gentlemen, to really appreciate what they do, to see the slides that they show of the work that they do, of the aggressive discipleship and mentorship that they are pursuing there, not just sharing, but building up other people. John, how long have you been there?
Start my 23 years.
23 years. It's a long time to hang in there. So I say this seriously. It really is an honor to have you both here. And I gave them a time to close, but we're starting so late. So 1 o'clock, 2. When I was in Russia there speaking, the guy said, we hope you'll take at least 3 hours with the morning service. I'm like, no, that ain't taking 3 hours. I took an hour, a little over an hour, and that's because I had an interpreter that would, you know, repeat what I said in Russian, you know. So, but anyway, come on up, John, and thank you so much for coming. And our church does support them, by the way, as a ministry of this fellowship.
It's great to be here, and Sasha and I, we appreciate the opportunity to just be with you guys this morning, share with you. And I also want to mention that the pastors Ted and also Larry have impacted me over the years, so I have a few notes this morning printed, but didn't print anything for you guys, but influence of the pastors. Before I start, I want to share a little bit about the picture behind me. But yeah, we're missionaries in Ukraine. And this is a picture of our staff family in Ukraine. There's 125 staff, and actually it's taken from in Sasha's yard. But Sasha, he'll explain more about the picture. So this picture will be visible while I'm sharing. And I want to give us some time in the Word, and then Sasha's going to illustrate the Word with some stories of how God is working. I want to talk about God's character and his heart as a foundation for missions. And I've been on staff for 30-some years. Sasha, he's been on staff for 16 years now. And so you could say that strategy and plans really get us excited and motivated for building the ministry. But ultimately, it's God's heart and his character that excites us. It's his heart, character that are the foundation for missions, and so it's also the foundation for our ministry. And you could say that missions is the sending activity of God, just as John mentioned earlier. It's a sending activity of God with the purpose of reconciling to himself and bringing into his kingdom men and women from every people, nation, and tongue. And so this morning, I'm going to just briefly take us to some passages in the Old Testament and the New Testament as we explore this topic. And then, as I said, Sasha's going to share some stories of how that looks in reality. But before I take us to Old Testament, just a question to ask, why is God concerned about man anyway? And the answer to this question will help us to see God's heart and character. And God is concerned about man because he not only created him, but God created man in his own image and likeness. And so when you read the creation account in Genesis chapter 1, you'll see that man is created in the image and likeness of God. And Genesis 1:26 states, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image and likeness." And then in 1:27 of Genesis states, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them." And so every time God creates something, he says, it is good. But when he created man, he also said it is good, and he created us in his image and likeness. And so man is also a higher being since he's created in God's image. Also in Genesis 1:26 and 28, it shows us that God gave mankind the task to steward the earth and to multiply and fill the earth. And he gave us this task. He gave this task only to man, not to any other of anyone else of his creation, to anything else, but just to man. And so in Genesis 1:26 states that to rule over the fish, you guys probably like this, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky and over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creation that move along the ground. And then Genesis 1:28 states, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish and the sea and the birds. And to me, this not only shows the creative aspect of God, but also shows, since we're created in his image and likeness, it makes me feel special and loved. So not just some animal, but I'm created in his image. And they also gave a command to multiply, to rule. And so let's say, so not only a relational aspect of God, but just created me in his image, likeness, so it makes me feel loved and special. And as I said, that part of missions is a sending activity of God with the purpose of reconciling to himself. And man needs reconciliation because of sin, salvation. And so when you look in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, and then 14 through 21, those passages describe how, or describes Adam and Eve's disobedience to God. And so the fall of man, or sin. And so the judgment of man. And so with that, why we need reconciliation to God. All part of God's plan of, you could say, missions. Bringing people to himself. And then, so there's a judgment that we see there in chapter 3. But then also in Genesis 3, 8 through 11, we see that God is seeking man out, and he's interacting with them. He sought them out. He didn't give up on man. So just like with the Bible bicycle story, you know, he's seeking them out. And so God is very faithful. And then we see in Genesis 3:15 that God promised a Savior. And so God took the initiative in reconciliation by promising a Messiah. He's seeking man out. He's seeking us out on a daily basis. And so we see God's heart of love, compassion, and not giving up on us. He cares not only about mankind, but about each one of you here. And so he's worthy to be followed since he's seeking us out. He's worthy to be followed. And when we look in the scriptures, you can see that what God has promised, he will fulfill and has been fulfilling. And in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, we see that God took the initiative to reconcile man to himself. And Genesis 12:3 states, "And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." So God's purpose in calling Abraham was so that all the nations would be blessed. And so God sent him, Abraham, to be a blessing, and we see God's plan and method, but most important, we see his heart for missions. Winston, reaching out. And so God had blessed Abraham and Israel, but he wanted them to be a blessing to others, to bring them into a relationship with him. He wanted people to see his presence in Israel. And once again, we see God's heart in reconciling people to himself. He takes the initiative. He's compassionate. He has a plan and a method. He reaches out to man. Man doesn't have to reach out to him. However, God does want us to respond back to him. And so our methods and plans constantly change, but God's heart and character never changes. Our methods, plans, my strategies might change, but God's heart never changes. He's constantly taking the initiative to reconcile man to himself. And then we can see in multitude of passages in the scriptures, where it's Psalms, where God is seeking to reconcile the nations to himself. And then ultimately, in the Gospels, once again, we see God at work, working to reconcile man to himself. And when we go to see the Gospels, we're reminded back to Genesis chapter 3, where God promised that one would come through the woman's seed, which is Christ, that would defeat Satan at the cross. And so once again, we see God is concerned for man. He has a plan, and his character is coming through, a character of love and the desire to have a relationship. And once again, we see him working to fulfill his promise. And so Christ is the fulfillment of the promise there in Genesis 12, 3. And we also see in Galatians 3, 8 and 16, once again, we see God's concern for the nations in Galatians, and that the promise of blessing through Abraham and his seed refers to Christ, who died for all of us. And I like, when I think about look in Revelation, and I love seeing the end result of God's plan of reconciling man to himself through Christ. I love Revelation 5:9 and 7:9. And so once again, we see God's heart of compassion for man and for the nations, and to him being faithful to his promises. When John wrote about in heaven there'd be people from every tribe, tongue, nation, people worshiping God. It's like, wow, God is working. And there will be people. There'll be people from Western Ukraine, Eastern Ukraine, from universities, from villages. There'll be people from big cities in Alaska to the villages. And so God is working to bring people there. And so it's God's heart and character is a basis for missions, the basis for what we do, and it's what gets us excited. So it's not about our strategies and plans, because they change on a regular basis, but it's all about God's heart, character, as it's unchangeable. But also, when we look, as I mentioned earlier, he invites us to respond back to him. So when we also look in the Gospels, seeing the Great Commission, God is inviting us to join him in this process of reconciling man to himself. And it's a great invitation, and it's also a great privilege to be a part of what God's doing that way. And I'll let Sasha share more about how God's working that way.
Hello, everybody. It's a big blessing for me to be here again. My name is Sasha Zibarov. I'm on staff with Campus Crusade for 16 years. And first time I was here 13 years ago, back in 2005. And maybe some of you remember me. John helped me to he was my interpreter at that time. Now I'm trying to speak English, or trying. This picture, this is some of our staff. John mentioned that we have 125 staff and 120 national staff, and I'm one of them, and five Americans. every May we have a meeting for some training for new staff. And this year we have five new Ukrainians who join us. And we decided just to have this bigger meeting. So some of these people, they're new, some of them not very new. This girl, she is a fruit of John's ministry or ministry of his team. We are serving in a few cities in Ukraine where we have staff team at 6 cities. But John's ministry is focusing on reaching students in those cities where we don't have our staff. So he's working with church leaders and youth leaders all around Ukraine. And through that volunteers, we are building student ministry in that smaller city. So that girl, she was a student leader in one of that city from Western Ukraine. So we have a lot of new staff in Ukraine. During the last 5 years, we have probably 50. And, next to our country, we have, I will show you, it's a map, small, lesson of geography for us. So here's Ukraine and Poland. And again, we have Russia. We have Russia here, Belarus, northern part, and then Lithuania, Baltic countries over there, Moldova, Romania, Hungary. But the biggest country close to the west from us, it's Poland. And why I'm talking about Poland, and John talked about mission, that we, God has a heart for reaching all nations. And so, the ministry in Ukraine started 27 years ago, 1991, when some missionaries from United States, from Switzerland, from New Zealand, came to Ukraine. And then later in the 90s, few people from Poland moved to Ukraine to start student ministry over there in Donetsk. So I'm not sure if I would be here if not some of American missionaries or Polish missionaries that God used to disciple me and to bring me to him. So both me and my wife, we were discipled when we just came to Christ. We were discipled by Polish missionaries. And for many years, Polish ministry participated. I mean, they send a lot of people into Ukraine, to Russia, to Belarus. It was about 20 years ago. Now, as I mentioned, we have a lot of new staff. And at the same time in Poland, they have only 2 or 3 maybe during the last 5 years. So we have about 50. And in Poland, they have 2, 3. So we see a great opportunity right now for our ministry, not to think only about our country and to reach all our students, let's say, or send missionary team to each big student center or university, but also how we can help reach Poland. And as you know, or maybe not, Poland is a Catholic country, and majority of people there would say probably they're Christians, but that doesn't mean always that they are born-again Christians. It's pretty the same in Ukraine. Most of our people would say that they are Christians because they are Orthodox, but that's very nominal. So a couple years ago, we started to talk with Polish ministry about some partnership between Ukrainian ministry and Polish ministry, if they would be interested, if we would send our staff to help them to reach their students. And I mentioned that last year when I was here, so last April, just 2 months ago, two teams from Ukraine, they went for 1 month to Kraków and Warsaw, the Polish capital, for 1 month to meet with some students. They did evangelism close to the campuses. They met some Christian students, some Protestant Christian students, some Catholic but born-again Christian students. And they basically passed the baton, the vision of reaching students in their campuses. So we had these two expeditions, one in Warsaw, one in Krakow. And the result of that was about 5-10 new students in each of that cities that now is working with Polish ministries, with Polish staff of Campus Crusade and volunteers to help them to develop student ministry in their city. So they took responsibility. We call them key volunteers. So we are looking for key volunteers who will take responsibility to reach their student or share the gospel, as Pastor Ted mentioned, aggressively, or initiative evangelism and life change discipleship. So I want to show just these two pictures of these two groups of Ukrainian staff and students who went to this group. They went to Krakow, and I had a chance to visit them and spend a few days with them. And this group from, they went to Warsaw. So right now, during next year, next school year, we will send a group for 3-4 months in one of that city. It will decide in August will be Krakow or Warsaw. And next year, next summer, we want to send a long-term team to one of that cities. A good, important thing about Poland, we have a lot of Ukrainian students in Poland. Probably the second group of students after Polish students will be Ukrainians in Poland. As well as we have officially 1 million Ukrainians who officially registered in Poland and they are working there. When Poland joined EU, a lot of Polish workers, they moved to UK or to Germany because bigger salary over there. So Poland is very attractive for Ukrainian people as well, because it's kind of more bigger salary over there. So if we would develop student ministry in Poland, we will not only help Polish ministry, as well as we will reach our own people who live and study or work there. So for me, it's a personal moment when Polish ministry sent missionaries to reach Ukrainians, and I'm one of that fruit of that ministry. So I'm looking forward to seeing how God will use Polish, Ukrainian missionaries, Ukrainian staff, Ukrainian students to reach Polish ministry. So this is one of the prayer requests that you can pray for that. And again, examples like John, who came to Ukraine many years ago and served there for 20 plus years. This is, again, this is a great model for me and for us as Ukrainian missionaries. What God want to do with us as Ukrainian missionaries? How He want us that we will serve? And maybe He want to see us. Maybe He want to see me to go to Poland or to go to some other place to reach people over there, because as we heard today, God has passion, God has heart for whole world. So I will give word to John to share some more prayer requests. But thank you very much for your involvement in our ministry in Ukraine. And I was saying this a lot before, but I will continue, I will repeat. If you are able to come, at least for a short mission, for 1 week, for 2 weeks, we have a lot of different projects during the whole year. I know that summer is not the best time for you because you want to enjoy summer here in Alaska. But winter time or spring or fall, if you are available, if you want to come to help us with English clubs, with some other outreaches, it will be easy to find or to organize that project. So just another invitation for all of you, for young people in this room, and for mature people as well. Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to share some prayer requests briefly. And one, as the scriptures also say, the harvest is plentiful, laborers are few. So please come. Think about how you can be a part. Whether we be praying for us, coming over on short trips, or also be financially supporting us. So, but please pray about how you can be involved. And also another prayer request would be the summer, when we get back, we'll have our summer project camp for students, which will be from July 7th through the 16th. It'll be Christians and non-Christians at the camp. And so just pray for God's blessing on the trip or the camp. Christians come to know Christ, non-Christians come to know Christ, and the Christians to grow deeper in their walk. And then another prayer request would be in mid-August, we're going to be partnering with the Baptist Union. They're having what's called a Youth Congress, or I don't know, World Youth or Ukrainian Youth Congress, and they've invited the student ministry of Campus Crusade to come do training during the week. And so, and then also the leader for students, young people for the Baptist Union, they've asked us to also do more training and partnering. And so just as we see in the scripture where God is inviting us to join with him, we see that in the gospel through the Great Commission. Also, we have an opportunity to partner with the Baptist Union there in August, so pray for that. And then in the past, Sasha's shared about a student center that we've been building. And so you could, it's coming to completion, the work in it. And so it's located in Kiev, close to one of the most prestigious universities, biggest universities. And you could pray that God would use that student center for his glory, and that it would be help us instrument. And once again, reaching out and for evangelism and discipleship. It, once again, thank you for being a part of our lives and for being a part of our ministry. And also pray for us as we head back for safety, and pray for Sasha's family as he's here and they're there. So pray for them. But come partner with us. Thank you for partnering with us. And we appreciate you very much. So thank you very much.
How many of you get, like, emails from them? If you want to know more, you can come up and ask them to be on their email list. I get them, and they're really impressive to me, the work that they do, the professionalism. Joan and I talked about it this week when we got together a little bit. The sense of urgency you have in Ukraine, because Russia is always there, pushing, pushing, pushing. It's not the sense of complacency that we tend to get in the U.S. where we've had it so good for so long. So we really appreciate what you guys do and that urgency. And sometimes I think maybe they're doing a little bit better job than we do at some of those discipleship kind of things and that kind of thing. So as he said, they're going out to Poland. I think the next thing, they might be sending some over to the U.S. to light a little fire over here. So we admire and respect what you do. So thank you very much. Mike, can I call upon you to close us in prayer and ask the Lord to bless them?
Lord, thank you for John and Sasha, who are willing to give their time and talents. We thank you for the body of believers in Ukraine and in Poland and in Russia and in the surrounding countries. And we just ask you to bless them as they return. Put on our hearts how we might be able to encourage them, either through prayer or sharing or even going to for a short term or a long term. Lord, we thank you for your protection, for your mercies for them, and your amazing grace, and your everlasting and eternal love. We love you. Amen.